This is Neil Whiteside. Cambridge 105 Radio.
And it's a real pleasure to welcome back into the studio, well, not into the studio, but we have met before, Wendy Kruger. You're a behaviour and training specialist at Wood Green, the animals charity. Hello, Wendy.
Hello.
I remember seeing you and chatting to you last time. We came up to your place, but nothing to get you in down here this afternoon.
Yes, indeed, and thank you for having us.
No, pleasure. And also from the comms team, it's Katie Allwright. Very good afternoon to you, Katie.
Hi, Neil. Thank you for having us.
That's all right. I'm guessing a busy time of year for you guys, because it's one of those things. Pets do come up on it, and you've got little faces looking at you saying, I'd like a puppy, I'd like a kitten. Is this a good idea? Is this what happens at Christmas? Should we be rehoming pets because children want one?
Yeah, Christmas is a time to celebrate all things, and we should be celebrating our existing pets. And, yeah, occasionally people do think about getting a pet over the Christmas period. And rather worryingly, occasionally people think about getting a pet for somebody else as a gift for Christmas.
Right.
Although they're relatively far and few between in those situations, our advice is have a think about it.
Right, so this is one of those messages that over the year they've had all this, dog is for life, not just for Christmas and all this sort of stuff. That message has got through, has it? People far more sensible about it now?
Broadly, it's got through, but there are still times where that hasn't quite hit home. And I think really people need to do their research. You know, if you're going to get a pet, it doesn't really matter when you get that pet, but really you should research and have a look at what impact it's going to have on your lifestyle, cost, finances. Pets aren't cheap. They are.
And often, who's going to look after it? Because whilst it's the children, it is often that parent-child thing, isn't it? That says, oh, I'd like a pet for Christmas. Yeah. But actually, it's usually the adult who winds up looking after it, in my experience, and that can be a trick.
Yeah, I think broadly that happens.
Okay, it's not just me,
then. Family situations, unfortunately. You know, the parent's good intention is to get the child something to bond with and to teach some really good skills, which is great. Ultimately, the parent has to be the person that is prepared to take the responsibility going forward for that pet's care lifelong, because it really doesn't stick with young children very often.
No, it's like all these things. By the end of a week or two, it can, if not introduced into the family, I guess, in the right way, it can just be that toy that's in the corner.
Yeah,
and ignored.
Absolutely.
We tend to talk about cats and dogs, but actually, you do a huge range of animal rehoming, don't you?
So, if
someone's thinking, well, we haven't got a pet, is there something other than cats and dogs that they should perhaps think about, which just gets them started with looking after another sentient being?
Yeah, it's really looking at what you've got to offer and what you're looking for. So, you know, if it's a small child's pet that you're looking for, then have a think about which species would suit that situation best. Often people think about rabbits with small children. Actually, rabbits don't often make a good child's pet because they don't really like being handled.
Right.
Whereas guinea pigs and rats are much better first child pets.
And rats are quite cool, isn't it?
Oh, rats are brilliant. Absolutely amazing.
I've got a lifetime supply of mice where I live at the moment. I can supply plenty of them. But yeah, rats, certainly for some children, I've got a rat. It's quite nice, isn't
it? Yeah, rats make excellent first child pet because they're in the house for a start.
Right.
Whereas the rabbits and the guinea pigs really should be living outside most of the year. And, you know, a child in the winter is going to be in the house in the dark in the evenings, and having a pet rat means that they
Yeah, and I guess half the other animals that are around are nocturnal as well, aren't you? Things like hamsters, you tend to hear them going off at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Well, that's no good.
Yeah,
again, it's a bit of a trick, isn't it?
So. And again, talking about, you know, which pet to choose for a small child, think about lifespan.
Yes.
Rats are not particularly long-lived, whereas rabbits and guinea pigs are much longer-lived.
Right.
So that's another factor that would help guide people into choosing the right pet for their situation.
OK, so what sort of preparation should you make? I mean, it's all very lovely saying, oh, we're going to surprise you, but you really can't surprise somebody with an animal. Can you have to introduce it in a proper way, surely?
No, really, it needs to be a discussion, a whole family discussion, and sit down and work out, you know, what impact is this pet going to have, and who is prepared to do what, and is everybody prepared to commit to that moving forward?
Mm. And things like puppies, a little bit like you were saying about lifespan, things like what you're getting for Christmas isn't what you're going to have in a few months' time, is it? And
no.
We were saying off air, you were saying, Katie, that it's actually Easter is not a good time for you guys, because that's when a lot of pets, people have realised that wasn't quite such a good idea.
Yeah, exactly that. You know, 3 months of doing the cold walks in the rain and the training and the toilet training, and just, you know, a pet is hard work, and it deserves our time and it deserves our attention. And if you can't give that long term, then maybe you should consider a different pet or look into fostering or something like that.
That's interesting. I mean, I was thinking, right, okay, maybe not go for a puppy, because you know, there's so many dogs need rehoming, don't they? And then all the hard work, I guess, in a lot of ways, has been done. And you're a behaviour and training specialist. You can presumably help work with a family to wrinkle out any major minor little niggles there might be about.
There are no perfect pets in this world.
Yeah. There's no perfect owners either.
Exactly. And that's what we have to talk about when we're, you know, our expectations when we're going out to buy a puppy are high. And probably a year down the line, when we've got that puppy in our home and its personality has developed and it's perhaps its likes and its dislikes have established, then actually we're prepared to make some compromises with our original expectation. But, you know, we have to manage expectation when we're looking for a new dog. And to some extent, having a dog that's a little bit older does bring some things to the home that perhaps a puppy doesn't. That kind of steadiness and maturity.
Yes.
And that somebody else has done all the hard work.
Yes.
And lived through the adolescent period, which can be as challenging for dogs and dog owners as it can be for parents
right.
and teenagers.
So they really do, so you get moody dogs, I guess, as the instinct to breed and that kicks in, they get moody and things.
The same sort of things that comes up with adolescent humans occurs with dogs. You know, their increasing ability to be a bit further away from the caregiver, like a teenage child would be a bit further away from its parent.
Right.
So its recall might be not so good as it was as a puppy at puppy classes. And during adolescence, they're thrill seekers to some extent.
Oh, my goodness.
So there are some issues that all dog owners need to consider. And if they put the work in at the start for that first 6 months, then that will pay dividends long term. They've still got to survive adolescence. If they didn't put the work in the first 6 months, actually, it's a little bit harder.
And that's kind of true for so many things in life, isn't it? If you put the effort in and make sure you do it. What sort of, in terms of aftercare, if people do decide that they want to get any form of pet from you, are you sort of on the end of the phone if they need them?
Because
it can be a bit daunting.
That's a really good question, Neil, actually, because we are there for pet owners long term, and we can give free behavioural advice and dog training classes for our dog owners in the community, but to be honest, anywhere in the country.
Right.
And they don't have to be Wood Green pets.
Right.
One of our goals is to keep pets and people together. And if a person, an owner, has a niggling problem with a dog that they would love to keep, but its behaviour is causing them to consider having to rehome, if that behaviour can be tweaked and fixed, then actually that's a dog that stays in a home and doesn't.
Yeah, better all round, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody wins
absolutely.
At that point. All right, now one of the things which you sort of stuck on the list to talk about, it struck me, yes, this is interesting, is actually the Christmas environment. Because it's a bit, I remember having when my children were younger thinking, it's all very lovely, but it's a death trap. The average house at Christmas is a death trap.
Absolutely. And if I see it from a puppy's perspective, or a cat's perspective, oh my God, the Christmas tree, what an amazing addition to
Wonderland.
The house that could be.
Yeah, well, that was where our cat always was. Where's the cat? Is it out? No, it's in the tree.
Yeah. Right. And we have to be cautious about things like baubles on the Christmas tree. The glass ones are really dangerous, and it would only take a cat or a dog to swipe one off or pull it off with its mouth for that to be a bit of a disaster, to say the least. Wires and cables, that's a bit of a risk. Even them just grabbing the branch of the tree and perhaps pulling
having
it over.
Having the whole lot over, yes.
And then there's the other things like chocolates, a box of chocolates wrapped up under the Christmas tree.
They'll
might
smell
be just
that
a
out,
benign thing for us for a few days in advance of Christmas, but actually for the dog, it's not.
And that's so unfair that chocolate is bad for them, isn't
yes.
it? That, I mean, I know
yes.
it's bad for us too, but that is so unfair because
you can
hear it in their voices when they whimper.
And things like mince pies.
Yeah. Not good either?
Not good, no. The grapes in mince pies or the raisins in mince pies are really, really dangerous.
Oh, my goodness.
And obviously lilies that we have the flowers for Christmas. There's lots of things that we have to have a think about. And we've got lots of information on that on our website. So if anybody wants to have a little look on our website, that's www.woodgreen.org.uk. We've got lots of advice on there and the list of poisonous plants and things to avoid at Christmas if they're really worried and want to make their home safe.
I was going to say, even if you've got children, you might want to check that one out, because if you've not got pets, it might be worth a look up, because you just don't think, do you? But actually, and there is that propensity to just go and chew stuff, don't there? But young puppies, like young children, they seem to examine the entire world by putting it in their mouth.
Absolutely. And it's a normal part of puppy development. They do need to do that, just as you say, like children do.
Yes.
You know, babies put stuff in their mouth. It's normal. Puppies put stuff in their mouth. It's normal for them. It just means we have to manage their environment.
Oh, my
goodness. It's not even just those physical things either, is it? Because it's, you know, if you've been out doing long days Christmas shopping and you're leaving your pets home alone for a long time, or if you've got really busy groups of people coming over, it's all those
stressful for a pet, can't it? Because suddenly it's all lovely for you to see Aunt Bessie you haven't seen for years. This dog's got no idea who they are. This cat is going to get completely stressed out with all these people
in
the house. Absolutely,
and that's particularly important on Christmas Day, but really whenever your friends and family or whoever is coming round to visit.
Yeah.
You know, for dogs, if the dog is very sociable, then that can be great, but somebody's got to be watching and managing who's feeding what to who. Because if the dog asks for something, the guest feels obliged to give it to the dog, and that's obviously can be dangerous if we're talking about things that the visitors might not realise are dangerous. And also, if the dog's anxious or nervous, then really being somewhere else outside of the main hub of activity is a better place for the dog to be.
I mean, it's been a real thing over the years, hasn't it? These cages, just portable, temporary pop-up cages, give the dog an environment.
Yeah, and that's great, as long as the training for that has been done in advance. I wouldn't want to advise anyone to do is to buy a cage on Christmas Eve
and shove the dog
and stick the dog in it, because that would be highly distressing and really cause more problems than it would solve. Baby gates, however... So the dog can see through and still feel part of the environment are a much better option. So the dog can come up and stick his nose through the baby gate and reassure himself that everybody's still there, but he's still got his room and his area.
He's got his space
a little bit
get away from...
trapped and confined.
Yeah, because I can imagine that must be... And because you have to bear in mind, all of those dogs are much smaller, aren't they? They're seeing the world by looking up. My goodness me, if everyone's in the room standing around chatting. Horrendous. But it's a good time. And as we've said, if you get it right, that pet's going to be with you for a goodly while.
Absolutely.
So for the favourite member of the family, what's the best gift for a pet?
Well, the best gift, really, I'd say time. Time is an excellent gift to give your pet, and particularly on Christmas Day when you know, everybody's thinking about family and stuff. Well, an extra great walk would be great for your dog.
Yeah, in fact, it's good for you as well. We've just been talking about
a play in the garden.
Yes.
And if we're looking at other things, then toys, and we can make our own toys. But hunting and seeking is very exciting for many of our species, actually, cats included. So if we can find them a toy that we can make and have a little play with them, piece of doweling with a piece of string something for the cat on the end to chase around, and for the dog, if we can use food in his enrichment things, then that would be great.
It gets their attention.
Yeah. So if we can wrap a piece of a little piece of kibble up in there in a toilet roll tube in a piece of newspaper and stick it in the toilet roll tube and give it to him, and then he can tear it apart. That stuff's really interesting and really exciting for them to do. So there's lots and lots of ideas we've
got. That's nice and easy, nice and cheap.
Absolutely. And we've got lots of information on our website for that. So again, if anybody wants to have a look on our website,
half the kids seem to be on holiday already. I think that's about right, isn't it? Streets are quiet out. This gives them something to do in that run up to Christmas as well, isn't it? You're making your present for your pet.
I think for most of our pets, the effort we put into a homemade gift or toy is absolutely worth every moment of time.
Oh, bless you, bless you. Well, I mean, we were all watching The Doghouse with bated breath. That is just a lovely idea for a programme. I guess it must have been hard work for all of you up at Wood Green to do. But I guess that has also focused attention on you. People know that you're the place to go to now and the place to talk to. So I think people have kind of hopefully got the confidence to just pick up the phone. And I guess that's really what you're saying to people is that don't just go doing this. Tell you what, it's a good idea. Let's go and get a dog. why don't you just talk to people first and get some advice, get some help? And, you know, we've seen how you interact with the clients and how their idea of what's a good idea sometimes isn't, but this is.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we don't expect people to come into us and know everything about the pets that they're thinking about acquiring, and sure. We're happy to give them help and support in making the right decision. And that might not be finding a rescue pet. It might actually be how to choose the right breeder.
Right.
You know, if somebody's looking for an unusual breed and they're coming to rescue and there isn't that breed in rescue, we can still help them by providing information and guidance on how to find a responsible, good breeder. And again, as I said earlier, we go on to provide help for that dog's future or that cat's future. So we're there kind of for the pet's life, really.
And as you say, get it right. Everyone's a winner, aren't they? Get it right. It's a great thing, as you say, in families. One quick question. I'm sorry, we haven't really talked about it, but just what about elderly people and lonely people, people who live alone? What about some people might go, oh, I don't really think I should have a pet. But what if members of the family are thinking, do you know what? What mum really needs is a cat or something
like
that.
Yeah, do you know what?
How do you do that? How do you deal with that?
There are members of our community that, for whatever reason, can't have a pet in terms of ownership, in terms of sole ownership.
Right.
But there are many older people out there that would love to have a pet as part of their life but can't manage some of the exercise needs of the pet.
Sure.
Perhaps can't manage the financial needs. Perhaps they travel a lot and therefore they're not around at home all the time. But maybe they could be somebody that can meet all those needs, would also benefit their lifestyle. So somebody that works could drop the pet in the morning and come and collect it in the afternoon. The pet's exercised before it gets dropped off. It's exercised again afterwards. All its medical fees.
And it's not left at home all day alone. It's got company.
Yeah, and that bond is still there. So I think really I'd be keen to help those people match up with each other.
What a good way of doing it. Katie?
And I mentioned as well earlier, fostering can be really brilliant. A lot of our fosterers tend to be older people, but it just means that they can have that pet as part of their life. It gives them kind of something to do, but there's no long-term commitment. Woodgreen provides all the equipment, all the food, every supply you could ever need. All you just need is your time and your love. And it means that if you go travelling a lot, sort of a few months of the year, it's no problem.
You can book yourself out.
Yeah, book yourself out, give it back, but you can foster dogs, cats, small pets, all sorts, and it's really easy, and all you need is your time and your love.
And you know, for some people, that's genius.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Just genius, yeah, isn't it? That's a lovely way of doing it.
Cracking fosterers out there that really support the work that we do.
Lovely. So if people want to get in touch, because we've gone through an awful lot this afternoon, if people want to get in touch and find out more.
Okay, so obviously our website, www.woodgreen.org.uk, or they can give us a ring, and our telephone number is 0300 303 9333.
0800 303 9333.
Sorry? 0300.
0300.
333. No, too many threes.
There are lots of threes in this, but they're all in different places.
They're on the website, I'm hoping.
It's all on the website.
Lovely. Go to woodgreen.org.uk. The phone number's on it. I'm so sorry. We normally get that so well done. But, listen, it's been lovely to meet you both this afternoon. Wendy and Katie, thank you for coming. I hope you have a really good, a very successful, what a successful Christmas be at Woodgreen. Actually, you know, a load of animals rehomed, some fostering underway and not too many coming back in.
Yeah, not too many coming in is absolutely. Absolutely, the probably benchmark of success for us. But we have a lovely day on Christmas Day. The staff all come in. The dogs generally have the dogs have presents and fun and attention, and they have kind of the extra stuff that. Well, we do give them every day, to be honest, but they get a bit more of it.
Yeah, fair enough. They've earned it. They've had a rough time, most of them, and they still have earned it. Listen, thank you for the work you do. It's lovely, as always, to catch up with you, and we'll keep in touch. There you are. That's Wendy and Katie from Woodgreen. If you want those details, woodgreen.org.uk.